90.3 FM in Minneapolis, or online at kfai.org. Or so am I.
Yeah, me too.
Shouldn't everybody?
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org. Non-commercial and community-powered radio. Support for this program comes from KFAI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners like you. Chi miigwech. Bonjour, relatives across our great Turtle Island and beyond. This is Deanna Standing Cloud, your host for the next hour on Medicine Bundle, the show celebrating Indigenous people and our allies as we creatively embrace our gifts of healing and connection. What's in your medicine bundle?
I'm just at me and say it with your chest. Last time I saw you, you couldn't say less. You playing checkers, but I'm playing chess. Well, you act on my ex, got a lot to address. How am I pretending Resi when I'm booked on the red? How am I pretending I'm blood condoms in the red? Got a tribal ID if you wanna act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla, so let me show you what that is.
Bonjour, Turtle Island. You're listening to Medicine Bundle. This is your host, Deanna Standing Cloud. It is September. Already, I was going to say August. But we have a special guest in the studio, and I'm so excited to chat with her today and share a little bit of, you know, her work and learn more about her, because I'm cheering her on, but I would love to know more details and get to know you more. So why don't you just introduce yourself, and then we'll just kind of go from there. Very organic.
Yeah. So I'm Dee Guzman. I kind of go by Dee the Artista on Instagram and on my socials. But I am a Mexican-American Latina illustrator, artist, muralist, all the above, whatever comes out of my creative brain. I live in, you know, the Twin Cities, and just making art. I'm a little shy.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I think the cool thing about radio, I was a guest on the show first before I started to like being a host, but it's like so nerve-wracking. You're like, oh my gosh, but just the take the edge off, and it's just kind of like you and I are just having a conversation, and then, you know, probably by the end of it we'll be like, oh my god, it's over.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell me about like your childhood and kind of like when you realized that art was kind of important to you?
So my parents immigrated here from Mexico, so my childhood was really like a lot of like having to take care of me, myself, and like at first it's just me and my older brother, and so just having to really take care of ourselves, and like having to like jump from auntie to auntie because my parents were always working hard and stuff like that. And so my brother used to draw cars because he was always car obsessed, and so I always looked up to my older brother, and so whenever I would see him draw cars, I would want to impress him and show him what I can draw. And I remembered I would try to like recreate and draw like Disney characters, and like I would draw like Mickey Mouse or Tiana, like I don't know, like a bunch of just like already like animated characters, I guess. And so but I don't think I started getting serious with art until I hit like maybe high school. I've always had like a passion for art, and like but I didn't really take any art classes in like middle school or anything like that. because I just would always choose classes that I had with my best friend.
Oh.
Yeah, and so, and one of them was like playing the violin, so we were in orchestra all the time. So orchestra took up all of my like my elective classes, but in high school, that's kind of when I started really liking the arts again, and like drawing and painting, and I kind of was going through it. I there's some trauma in that high school time, and so art really helped me cope with that. And so I would do a lot of painting and like make little prints. Some people would buy them, but like it was nothing like too crazy or serious. And I at this like this is like senior year, like, or no, not senior year, it's like maybe like junior year ish when you have to start thinking about careers. And I genuinely did not know what I wanted to do with my life. My parents, they own a Mexican restaurant in Iowa, and so I spent my whole childhood working there as well. And so I kind of figured like, well, I really don't know what I want to do, and I don't want to waste my parents' money of like putting them in a loan or anything like that. So like, I don't want to go to college if I don't know what I want to do. Mm. And then my my high school art teacher, he's canceled, by the way. There's some crazy stuff that happened. But he was the one that kind of told me like, hey, you can go to art school and like, you know. Mm. And I remember him bringing like somebody from MCAD to like show us MCAD's, you know, like the score or whatever. And so that's kind of when I learned about art schools. Mm-hmm. I guess it didn't really like came to my brain that like art schools existed. I always thought maybe it was like I know like in like Disney's they have like music schools and all that stuff like that, but like I didn't really think those were real in my brain. I don't know why.
Right.
So once I realized, you know, art school was a thing, I was like, oh wow, like I could possibly do this. And so it kind of got me a little bit more excited to want to go to college and want to go to art school. And so I told my parents about it. I was like, hey, like I want to be an artist and I want to go to MCAD. And yeah, or if I don't go to, my parents were they are super like hard on getting your education. Like they want us to go to college, they want us to get our education, because they always say that that's like the most wealthiest thing you can have. Okay. Is an education. And because obviously they didn't have an education, they grew up super poor, like they've been working since they've ever been babies. Mm-hmm. And so my parents were always like, we don't care what you do per se, like you don't need to become a doctor, you don't need to become a lawyer, as long as you go to school, you know, get your education, get the career you want and you're happy with it, then that's all that matters, because like, you know, that's why we've done all this for you guys, you know, to have the life that you want. And so then when I told him about art school, my dad was super supportive, because he's kind of the one that's a lot more supportive with, you know, doing whatever you want to do. My mom was kind of like, oh, how are you going to make money, girl? Mm-hmm. And but I did like a little tour I did a tour at the school with my dad. And, you know, my dad was kind of sold. He's like, yeah, like, and you can get jobs. Mm-hmm. You can get jobs. You just have to, like, you know, obviously work a little bit harder than what, you know, I feel like it's not as easy. Like, I feel like if you, I don't want to say anything cancelable, but like, mm-hmm. like, you know, if you study for doctor, to be a doctor, like, then I'm sure you have something lined up already. You know what I mean? I'm sure it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are already resources, right? Like, there's like multiple places you can apply, or like, you know, or like whatever hospitals and stuff. Again, I'm not saying it's that mm-hmm. easy, but mm-hmm. I don't know anything about doctors. Respects to doctors, I don't know anything about it. But at least like for an artist, like you know, it's never a guarantee that you will become somebody that has consistent work every day, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't really rely on your art money mm-hmm. as much as you could probably rely on your salary of being a lawyer or mm-hmm. whatever, you know. And so they were just kind of, my mom was a little bit more like iffy on that. She's like, are you sure, like, you're gonna have to like work really hard? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, like, I don't know what else to do, like, I don't mm-hmm. and like, it's either become an artist or stay at the restaurant for the rest of my life, and I not want to do that. Mm-hmm. So I got a scholarship for MCAD, and then my parents helped me pay the rest of my school, which, you know, I always give them their credit, because they are insane people, and they literally came up from nothing, mm-hmm. worked their butts off, and they literally made their own dreams come true, where they like made sure that their kids are good, mm-hmm. and so I look up to them in that way of like, I can't believe that they're that insane.
Yeah.
But you know, with that much sacrifices from them, also comes a lot of guilt, mm-hmm. from me. And if I, so like everything I do, I always, my number one thought is always them, like how, like, mm-hmm. does it affect them? Does it like, does it, what's that called? Does it like,
have a repercussion?
Yeah, or is it worth their sacrifices? Mm. What is that like?
Like the value of their I know what you mean.
Yeah.
There's a word.
Is it worth, is whatever I do worth the sacrifice that they did for me? You know what I mean? So I have a lot of things I have to go through, trying to deal with that. So, but anyways, yeah, I went to school and graduated during COVID, which was not fun. But it's okay. Right after I graduated, though, somebody saw this editor from this bilingual publisher, Kalili Rose, saw my children's book, dummy book, and she reached out and she wanted to get it published. And so it got published, and that was really cool and awesome. And then by then, my mom was like, oh, okay, you can do this. Like, okay, I see you now.
Mm-hmm.
So and then, of course, I've gotten a collabs with High Corpse, too. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool. And now I just do a lot of freelancing stuff. But I also have a day job to, you know, pay my bills because, like I said, like, this art life is a roller coaster. There are times where you get money, and then there's times you don't. Mm-hmm. There's times when it's, like, really funny because, like, when you were on that high part of that roller coaster, it's like everybody wants a piece of you. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants you. And then and then it slows down and like nobody wants mm-hmm. you. And you're like, hello, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a back and forth type thing. And so, so.
You know, my interpretation of that is like, we'll put the microphone closer to your mouth, but my interpretation is like, society, I feel like, is not on your level. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Like, they're kind of getting it a little bit, but I feel like in the future, the more I'm seeing, like, artificial intelligence or a lot of things changing, I feel like artists, poets, people who write beautiful words or even, like, those who, like, do, like, STEAM, like, STEM stuff and, like, really think innovatively, I feel like people are going to come to, like, Indigenous people for, you know, like, land, like, an understanding of climate change or, like, what to do to preserve, like, our resources and preserve our sanity. So I feel like you're doing exactly what you need to do, and sometimes it takes a while for people to kind of catch up. And it's, like, lonely because you're, like, you know you're doing the right thing. And you want everybody to see. But not everybody's there. So, and I know your parents love you. And I don't know why I'm getting... It's been a hard day today.
Yeah, no, I know. And I'm sure that this kind of is, like... you know, what you told me earlier, I'm sure it's kind of hitting a little.
I got into it with my son this morning.
I think that topic of, I actually go to therapy for my parents,
mm-hmm.
because I like, I respect my parents so much and I love them so much, but they have their own trauma, and I understand they have their own trauma, and I try to really level with them, and like, but there are times where like they will say the nastiest things to me, and I know it doesn't come from like a place of like ill intent. It's just like that's just how they were raised, and so, but it's like, I am a sensitive girl. Like, I need you to tell me that you're proud of me. I need you to tell me that I'm doing the right thing. I need you to tell me that you know, and like, they're not parents of words. They're not parents of, you know, actions or anything. So like, they just, it's kind of hard to read them when they're proud of you. And so I'm just trying to like deal with that. But so no, it's, I think the older, I remember, like I said, in high school, like I was like, I was going through these moments of like really hating my dad, really hating my mom, because like they didn't understand me, and like I was like, I just felt like, I'm an oldest sister, by the way, I'm oldest daughter, I'm the oldest daughter, so like a lot of expectations and like
standards
and like all of that stuff were, you know, put on my shoulders, and having to like basically be the glue of my family and put everything together, it was, and that's kind of the reason why I moved out from Iowa to Minnesota. I didn't make too big of a jump, clearly, because I'm only like 3 hours away, because in the day I'm still like, I'm still in my blood that like I love my family, like it's in my culture, like I need to stay close to family, like family's still a big thing, you know, but it's just like I need that breathing space, you know,
and distinguish your identity from your family.
Yes, exactly. And so, but yeah, definitely moving out made my relationship with them a lot closer. And so, and I can always just hang up whenever they're saying something crazy to me.
It's the magic of being an adult.
Yes.
And you know what? And like, I feel like, you know, like I'm probably a little, you know, more of your parents' age, but, you know, even with my relationship with my mom and my grandma, I still have to sift through a lot of like core memories and trauma that they didn't know that they were passing on. And I think as our generations, you know, get older and more evolved, I feel like we recognize that earlier. So like, you're super young, and the fact that you know that your parents have trauma, like, we're Indigenous people, of course, like we have trauma that we can't even comprehend, and it's in our cells, it's in our DNA when we're born, and it stretches all the way back. I mean, so for us to like have to show up and be bubbly and happy and productive is not always easy, because you know like you're worth more, but you're like, how do I do this, because I've never had the roadmap for this before. So I think you're amazing. I want to tell you that I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm so thankful that I was able to meet you and see your work, and because you're medicine. So
thank you.
Just an FYI.
Thank you. Yeah, that's kind of also a reason why like a lot of my work kind of revolves around my culture, and I'm starting to get a little branch out for like, you know, I'm married to Andy. He's Chinese, and I, you know, being with him for so long, like, I start to see it's like we're the same people, different font, you know, like his family morals are exactly the same as mine. Like, he also grew up in a restaurant. He's also a restaurant kid. And just getting a lot closer with his family this past, since, you know, getting married, it's like, wow, we really live the same experience, but just like obviously different, like, you know, he's Chinese and I'm not. And so you know, food is a big thing. Not telling your kids you love them is a big thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just like loving some, like your kids with like actions of like different things versus like words. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting to see and relate and
and connect and see that, because it's like when you are partner with somebody that is so understanding of your, like, the traumas and the hardships mm-hmm. that you've had, that's very helpful to your relationship and also just to your psyche and just your bond. So that's really good that you were able to find that. And he's so sweet. I just want to say, I didn't get to go to the wedding. I've seen pictures. My daughter got to go to the wedding, but he looks so beautiful. And ever since then, like, every adventure that you go on, and it's just so beautiful to see, because he's so sweet. And I'm not saying I gave up on men or anything, but it just gives me hope that there still are, you know, just people men I have not met that are really nice.
Yes.
But I met Andy's, and he's super nice. So.
Well, also, Andy was raised by a single mother. Mm-hmm. So I give all credit to his mom. Like, I respect his mom. His mom definitely has raised him right. I also don't like talking so high quality of, like, high on men, because it's like, but, like, I will do that for my husband.
Because what the heck?
Yeah. But, like, he absolutely understands my own traumas. He understands my dynamics with my family. Like, he puts himself in between me and my family if we start having a discussion, a high-heated discussion. And he is also a Libra, so justice, like, needs to listen to both sides. But typically, like, 99.9, he's always on my side. But he is the, like, peacemaker. And so if I get into it with my family, like, he will definitely be like, okay, you go take a walk. You guys need to understand her. Like, she is blah, 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 you know. And so, and they love him. And so, of course, if I said the same thing that he said, they're going to listen to him and not me. So, but, you know, he also understands that, like, growing up, I had to, like, always be on top and always do this and do that. And he's the one that takes control now. Like, he's the one that, like, is more dominant in our relationship, like, where he figures out what we have to do. He figures out what needs to be done. He, like, I don't have to think. He just tells me to do something, and I'm like, okay. Which I, like, as an oldest daughter, like, I love that. Like, I don't want to think. I don't want to use my brain. And I haven't been using my brain for, like, 8 years now. So,
you've been using your heart. That's so amazing.
Yes.
I love that for you, because to have that feeling, and I, you know, like, I've been able to feel, like, what it feels like to be protected by men in different, like, contexts.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, like, even with my dad or with any of my kids' dads either, but just to have that even once, that experience, or like having someone walk to your car and, like, wait for you to drive away. I'm like, what's wrong? Something happened like that, and I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm just waiting for you to drive away. And you're like, oh. And that kind of throws, like, it threw me off. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yes.
So it's like a whole nother way of thinking, and it broke my mind, because I'm like, there are men who actually care and want to protect.
Yes, actually, so the beginning of mine and Andy's relationship, he's probably gonna be like, why are you exposed to this? I was a toxic one. I was a toxic one, because he was so nice and had so much patience, and I never experienced that in my life. Like, my dad has zero patience. All my exes were not the same like him. And so I was kind of toxic, and I'd be like, what is this? What is this? What is this? And he was kind of laid it out on me, like, by the, like, second month, like, hey, I don't like this. I don't like being toxic. He's like, I don't like anything that you're doing right now. Like, you either fix it or I'm leaving. And that's kind of when it hit me, like, oh, he actually, like, what the heck? That was weird. Like, like, it's just weird to come from, like, toxic relationships into a nice, healthy one. And then, like, feeling like you have to
validate or, like, justify.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It was just, like, really weird. And so when he, like, kind of put me in my place, I was like, wow, okay, like, he genuinely don't know, it just switched something on me. So, like, I had to obviously work through things. Obviously, a lot of, like, the toxic things that were coming in from me were, like, from old trauma, family, some other stuff, and, you know, exes. And so, like, I went to therapy a little bit for that. And then, you know, and then I stopped. But then he actually just, like, who he is just, like, made me want to become a better person. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of the one that kind of, you know, made me love the outdoors, because he always loved the outdoors. He loved fishing. He loves everything. And so I kind of fell in love with the outdoors and nature and being dirty with the dirt and camping. And, like, I'm now the granola girl that I am because of him. And I honestly wouldn't want it to be any other way, because I love sitting in the nature and the mountains and just listening to the birds and the winds, and oh, it's so peaceful. And yeah, so he has definitely grounded me in multiple ways that he has just made me a better person. And so I know,
I love that. Yeah, I'm like, I'm getting so teared up, and I'm so happy that you found someone to take care of you. And like you said, like, even just meeting him for the, you know, I met him a couple times, just, yeah, you meet people, and sometimes certain people will want to make you want to be a better person, or make you, like, oh, well, if they are living their life like that, I can too. But it might look different because we're not the same person.
Yeah.
But really, like, reaching for something more. Mm-hmm. And it's really beautiful to see. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
I want to learn more about, like, your adventures and stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and but we'll talk about the outdoors, because when you said that, I'm like, ooh, let's dig into that.
Yes.
But we're going to take a break. We're here with Dee Guzman, my little, well, she calls me Mama Bear because I just have the Mama Bear vibes, because she's my daughter's friend. So, like, they're, you know, I'm doing the mama vibe. So I'm just so excited to have you. And
thank
we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Programming is supported by Hennepin Health, your community health plan. If you live in Hennepin County and are eligible for medical assistance or Minnesota care, Hennepin Health is here to help. Their coverage includes medical, dental, and mental health care. They also offer gym benefits, rewards for visiting the doctor, and easy access to other services you may need, like food and housing. Learn more at hennepinhealth.org. Do you have cardboard that won't fit in the recycling bin, piled up plastic bags, or other products that could be recycled? Bring them to the Environmental Center for free. Drop off plastic bags and wrap, household recycling, and even food scraps. Recycle these items and more at the Ramsey County Environmental Center in Roseville. Visit ramseyrecycles.com/EC to learn more and get directions. That's ramseyrecycles.com/EC.
Well, a dog didn't wear it, so it's yours now.
Yes. Yes.
We're back. Welcome back to Medicine Bundle. We're here talking to my lovely Dee Guzman. I'm kind of like an auntie. I guess I can call you my niece. I like to just, like, adopt everyone right away. Yes. But welcome into the studio, and thank you for listening in. So we were just talking about, like, kind of breaking, I guess, the, like, identifying a trauma and then, like, breaking through that and really cultivating the things that you love. And that's kind of what wakes your spirit up. And you mentioned camping, and I love camping. I used to camp. I actually remember when I was a kid, we camped in Lake of the Woods, way the heck up there. And we used to fish, man, all the time. And I didn't realize that when we were doing that, we were loaded, because my mom... when my mom was engaged to this Minneapolis cop, which is, like, he's canceled too, and but he had lots of money, so he would have boats, and, like, we'd go walleye fishing. And when you're a kid, you're like, okay, you think this is just how it is, and then when you grow up, you're like, this is expensive. Yeah. To do any of this. So, but yeah, camping is one of our favorite things. I know my even Bree and Negosis, they went to the Boundary Waters and did all that, the whole experience with phone.
That's so cool. I want to do that. Me and Andy want to do that so bad. But we're just always like, we just haven't found the time to. But and like we just wanna experience it for once before they start destroying it. Of course, you know.
Well, lives. We're gonna do whatever we can to keep it the way it is.
Yes,
we're gonna hopefully. You know.
Which I heard that didn't our governor put like a stop for it for right now? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, so hopefully.
Yeah.
Because it's such a beautiful place, and it's like. There's so many, there's a place up actually, I'm just like popcorning my ideas, but there's this place called Lost 40. I think you and Andy would love it because it's 40 acres of like virgin pine trees that were never like, lumber, you know, like the lumber companies didn't go through that or whatever. And there's two of them, I think. There's one near like White Earth, Lost 40. So and we went there one time and I remember like it almost was like a different like a dimension because it was like so quiet.
Wait, hold on. I think Andy has told me about this before.
Really?
Yes. So Andy loves everything outdoors. Mm-hmm. And so he's always telling me we should go here, we should go here, we should go there. And like, so I feel like it, something being not touched for so long, it's kind of starting to ring a bell.
Yeah. You should, and I don't know if there's camping around there. Mm-hmm. There's probably like campsites near there so you could go visit. But yeah, it's super quiet. I only went to one, but it's like so quiet. And I feel like this summer in particular, for me, my experience like with nature is I can hear them more. If that makes sense. I'm like, they're louder now for some reason. So even just going outside. And I was thinking also, the Navajo, so the Diné people, they say that every new sun is a new sun. Like it's different every single day. So when a sun comes up, you have to go out there and like get all the information you can because like the light is like information and you're like got to soak up the new data for what you got to do. And then like this, when the sun sets, like that's the last time you see that sun.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Yeah.
I never knew that. But what is one of a moving experience that you've had like in nature where you're just like, I love this and I'm so connected and.
Okay. So there's a lot of those moments, but my most recent one. So we went to Montana, right? We went for my birthday. We went to Glacier. Glacier National Park is my favorite national park in the States. It's Andy's favorite national park. I got engaged there.
It's the spot.
It's the spot. I would have gotten married there if I didn't have to haul 100% of my crazy family. But when I got engaged, we were driving through and we saw this little baby albino deer, right? And those albino deers are super, super, super rare. And they kind of don't last long because they're bright white and, you know, they can't really hide from predators and stuff like that. And I would hope that nobody would hunt them because, okay, so we were in Glacier, but like the area that we saw this deer technically wasn't in the Glacier, you know, I guess border or whatever. Like, it's just like, you know, our Pole Ridge is?
Uh-uh.
Okay, well, it's just like it's a little bit. It's just
a town like on the outside.
Yeah, so it was like, it's like just on like the town. Like, it's like not a town, but like it's still, it still feels like Glacier because it's all nature, but like technically it's not. So I'm assuming people could hunt there if they wanted to. But so that was 2 years ago. We went back for my birthday this year and we went on the same drive and we saw that same albino deer with horns and antlers. Sorry, I don't know why I said horns. Yeah, antlers with antlers, and it was all grown up, and it's like, what is the like possibility that we would see it 2 years later and it's still alive and it's still like with his other dear friends, and it just felt like a circle moment, you know, of like, I don't know, it's just like beautiful. Like, I don't know, it just like made me realize, like, I was always so scared for this little albino deer, and but he's like flourishing and he's okay, and I got to see him again 2 years later, and he looks so grown.
That's so amazing. It's kind of like you're like the godparent or something.
Yeah, and so it's just like, I don't know, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I was told by an elder to like pay attention to like the animals, like watch. And, you know, it's like when you're in this world, you don't really think about animals or, you know, like it's like you're on a one-way track to like getting to the next place or getting the next thing done. But like when you stop to look at animals, you're like, man, because they were here long before us.
Yes.
And they will very much survive if we weren't here. But if we were try to live without them, that would not be very helpful, because they, you know, in my belief, our teachings, like the animals, they offer their bodies so that we can live. Like they told the creator told them, like, there's these humans are coming to the earth, and we got to prepare for them, kind of like how a family prepares for a baby that's coming. And then, you know, like everyone took turns and talked about all the sacrifices that they're going to make, and the animals made probably the most sacrifice because they let us have the medicine. Sometimes there's medicine, sometimes they're, you know, the meat, and then we use their skin for clothes or tools or housing, you know. So they really gave their whole life for us, and we need to at least acknowledge them in some way. So that's beautiful that you're connected to nature like that.
Yeah,
at such a young age.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love animals. I love nature. Like, we also saw a bunch of bears when we were in Montana, and it was just like they were just so majestic. Obviously, we were in a safe distance. We were not up
like those guys on the news.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like in like sometimes stories like that, like when I hear, or like obviously not the like super tragic ones. If you have bear spray and you're doing everything right, and you know something happens, and like clearly like it's just a bad time, right? But like when people like, I've started seeing this trend, which maybe I might sound like a little boomer, but whatever. I started seeing this trend where a lot of younger people are starting to really want to go explore the outdoors and go to national parks, and which is awesome. And but they do it with this type of aesthetic or trend aura. I don't know, where like they just want to get the perfect photo and the perfect blah blah. And I don't know, but then like, they're not really prepared. They don't really have bear spray. They don't really hike like that. They don't think about elevation. And sometimes whenever I see people bring their dogs on like these national trails, it's like you're not actually reading or respecting what the parks have said. I bring my dog to Glacier, right? You can bring your pets to a national park. You cannot take your pets to a trail in the national park.
Okay.
And I, as much as that sucks, believe me, because I would love to be hiking as much as I can in the actual park, I understand it. I get it. Like, people are not good dog parents, and they let their dog off leash, or they don't pick up their poop, or, you know what I mean? And so it's like, I get it. Like, it's, I'm not mad, because most of us are not responsible dog parents. And so when I see just people kind of disrespecting the outdoors like that, or like not being prepared, or not like actually reading or, you know, educating themselves on these animals, and or just, you know, just overall prep, like, it's just kind of icks me a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it's cringe.
Yes, it's a little icks. And, you know, and I can't really, like, blame them. Like, I know that it's probably their first time and they're young and whatever, because me and Andy were definitely like that when we first started. Like, when we, on our one-year anniversary, we decided to take a month road trip out west. So this is kind of where we hit the Badlands, Glacier. We went to Oregon. We went to Yosemite. We went to Sedona. Like, we kind of did all that. And did we have bear spray? No. Did we have any of the correct hiking tools? No. I remember the first hike, we didn't even have water.
Oh, my God.
We didn't have food. Like, I want to say that our youth of being 19 and 20 saved us.
Yeah.
But after that trip, it really opened up something in us, like, we should be more prepared next time. And this is kind of when we started in, like, really investing in our camping gear, investing in our, yeah, in, like, our hiking shoes, just, like, anything. And just making sure we have enough water, making sure we have enough food, making sure, you know, like, we have bear spray. Like, have we have to use the bear spray? No. But, like, when you're in that situation, you're gonna wish you had it, you know?
Right.
And so, and just making sure that, yeah.
Right.
Everybody's prepped. So I love nature, I love animals, I love respect. I have these binoculars that I love using because I got to see a bear, I got to see a bunch of different birds. Like, I just love I love being a stalker to these animals. Yeah. And like, just respecting them, making sure I don't make a noise, just watching them, because it's like, they're just so in their, like, I don't know, it's so cool.
They're in their, like, true authentic form. Like, they're,
yes,
there's, like, no hiding anything. They're just who they are. And it's just, like, I remember reading, I think it was, like, an Eckhart Tolle book, but, like, if you ask an eagle what time it is, what will he say? Now,
yeah,
know? Like,
yeah,
he doesn't care if it's 1 o'clock or anything. It's like, you'd probably say it's right now, and they're so in the moment. So I love that you connected to our animal ancestors, because they have so many teachings and they're our first teachers. And for us to kind of go back to that, especially, you know, in our world today, because it's like, there's so much going on, but if we were to quiet our minds and, like, you know, go to an elevated place and get those ions going and listen to some birds. Like, I know that sounds like a society would be like, what the heck are you doing?
But
it's like, that literally will save you.
Yeah.
Just to, like, the birds singing for me, like, it's, there's nothing like it. And I'm like, sometimes I'll just, like, push pause and everything just to listen to the birds, because they're telling you something.
They're saying something. And if nobody is chirping, there's something coming.
Right.
And if nobody is chirping, there's something coming.
Something wrong.
I definitely do get inspired by nature and all this stuff. And so that's kind of why me and Andy do a lot of road trips, because, you know, I feel like we're always so, like, go, 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 go. And so whenever we go somewhere out in nature, like, that's kind of when I can think the most,
yeah,
clear. I start thinking about drawings and work. And
what are you looking forward to in the next year or two?
Am I gonna be honest? Next year will probably be the year that me and Andy start trying.
Oh,
maybe.
Okay,
we'll see.
Yeah,
I think I've been thinking a lot about that. I've been thinking, like I said, I go to therapy, think about my parents, and then I think about how I would be a parent, having, like, a mini version of Vandy or me, and, like, teaching them, like, all the stuff that we love, like, teaching them nature, teaching them how to fish, teaching them how to do art. Like, so anytime we travel, I'm like, how wonderful would it be to have this person that we made, having them, like, go to China with us, and Andy can teach them, like, you know, his background and his family's village. And Andy spent most of his childhood in China, and so it's like being able to share that experience of somebody, like, that was like a little soul that you made with your loved one. And so, like, and, like, or, like, for me, it's like taking them to my grandma's house. You know, she's not here with us anymore, but, like, getting to show them the home that my mom grew up in and that my grandma lived in. And, you know, like, I want that for my kid. Like, I want them to know everything. I want them to know their cultures, both sides, you know. And so if I have to start it off with my grandma being, and then that will be, like, their great-grandmother, then that's where I'll start, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think family trees are really cool, and knowing where you came from is really cool, and, yeah.
I think so, too. And it's fascinating, too. And you're like, oh, I was logging into my ancestry account, and I'm like, it costs money, so I didn't log in. But when I get money, I'll check it out. But but it's just fascinating because I think we got back to like the 1700s or something on my maternal side. So, and my sister did like, I think a 23andMe, and she said we're part Prussian. I'm like, what? So it's so fascinating to see, like, I'm like a native girl from South Minneapolis. I'm actually Prussian.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. So, and it was her 23andMe, so it wasn't mine. So I'm not sure. We just have the same dad. So I think I don't know. But it is super fascinating. And I think that's such a beautiful place to start your mindset to be a mom, you know, because you're trying to give more of kind of the legacy of where you came from and offer that to your baby. So I love that. And I think that's a really good place to be a mom, because when, you know, like I was totally not in a good mindset to offer anything for Bree when she was born. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate and respect that you're at in a good heart and a good mind, because not everybody does that, girl.
I know. Well, I know. That's why. So right now I've been trying to figure myself out. I told Anna, I said, we can't have kids before I figure out my issues. Like, I don't know if Bree told you, but I recently got diagnosed with ADHD. Because I felt like I could not function anymore, like, by myself. Like, I used to be a determined, ambitious girl. Like I said, I'm oldest daughter, so I knew all the stuff I had to get done. It hit me at some point in my mid-20s where I'm like, I'm burnt out. I can't do this. But I have so many ideas, so many, you know, things I want to do. But then it's like, then I start doing this, and then I start doing that, and then I start doing this, and then I don't end up doing anything. And it was really hard for me to... And then I started getting mood swings again, and it's like, okay, I know I've healed my toxic self. What is happening with me? You know, so then I got tested for ADHD, and I'm on meds right now, and so that has been... And I'm also on antidepressants, which, you know, well, aren't we all depressed? But... So that's been helping me. And so, like, I got the mental issues down. Now I'm fighting the physical issues where I actually just came back from the doctor and got diagnosed with it's an autoimmune disease. It's, well, at first, my first rheumatologist said I probably have psoriatic arthritis or OCS arthritis, but she was kind of going like back and like, I don't know. Mm. She, like, honestly, if you ever had to deal with a rheumatologist for an invisible disease,
yeah,
it's so frustrating. But I went to go get a second opinion, and they did a bone scan, and they did an MRI, and I got diagnosed with it's an autoimmune disease, which is also like some type of like basically arthritis too. Mm-hmm. I remember in 2020 going, because I had a lot of joint pain, and the doctor was like, you're too young to have arthritis, so get out of here. And I said, okay. So I never tried again. And then in 2022 or 2023, I remember being in New York and having it was during a heat wave. It was during a heat wave, and I was in so much pain. I could not lift up we were at dim sum, and I love dim sum.
Aww.
I love dim sum, but I could not pick up the chopsticks to eat. Like, that's how much pain I was in. And Andy was like, okay, you have to figure something out, because this is clearly not normal. I didn't really do anything much about it, but then after a while, like, I started to really, like, get even more fatigue, even more, like, my bones just felt like 90 years old. And so I started my journey with a rheumatologist, and she would kind of go back and forth. She made me do some tests, different, like, medicine tests that didn't really work. And then she's like, well, maybe you just need to exercise more. And I'm like, well, screw you. Yeah, I know.
And I think for just Native women in general, I feel like you have to be really, like, mindful about advocating yourself in an medical institution.
Like, I'm in so much pain sometimes that I'm like, I don't care who I have to. And, like, maybe this is, like, me being who I am. I've always been a determined, loud, passionate, very passionate person. I am very passionate in every aspect part of my life. So if I need to get something done, I will get it done. And I don't care who I have to go through with. I will steamroll and get my answer. So, yeah. So,
yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I think, and it is very frightening because sometimes it is really, it's hard. And like, again, with the ADHD thing, it's like, oh my God, having to make those appointments were like the end of me.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. There's some, I don't know. I'm just, yeah.
So is, I also wanted to just give a shout out during like the ICE occupation. I thought we were going to not live through that. And, but you saw I was struggling and you're, I mean, you're so young and you like took the initiative to put a little gift bag together. And I just think that's like, you like pulled me out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, like I said, when I'm passionate about something, I'm passionate about something. And one of my big things is my people. I love hard. I care hard. So when I see somebody like, you know, when I see like somebody I care about and love and needs a little pick me up, I will literally drop anything and go do something for them. Or yeah, so I saw you and, you know, Bree also mentioned like, yeah, you know, my mom has been struggling hard too. And so she's like, it's kind of sucks because I can't really go see her. And I was, and then I knew you lived so closer to, I knew you lived close to me because Bree lives kind of like the opposite of the world from us. And so I was, oh, sorry. And so I was like, oh, you know what? Let me get Mama Bear something to make her feel better. Because, you know what, I think, and especially times of those times, like, it was hard. Like, you really couldn't be with any of your loved ones without feeling scared or feeling like you're going to get attacked or tracked or, you know what I mean, or taken. And so I think the power of community is also a lot stronger than the power of authority and whatever the heck those people are. But I just like to always make sure my people are good. I like to, you know, help them in any way I can. If you are being loved, if you are one of my people, you are most likely being loved. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I just wanted to make sure you're okay, because I don't know, you're a mom. you're a mom, and I don't have my mom here with me. My mom is in a different state, and sometimes I don't know, I also have a thing for mommies. Like, oh. I have mommy issues, clearly.
Me too, girl. We all do. But no, like, you reminded me of community, and you also dropped off a print of your art, and I have it hanging on my wall in my house. So you were so brave, because I was like scared to even go to the freaking garbage. It was wild, and you just like showed up and you're just like a ball of sunshine. You're like, here you go, and we hugged, and then you're just like on your way. And that was like, for real, like 2026, like that was one of the highlights.
Aww. So you gave me this little was it cedarwood or what was it?
Oh.
I still have it in my car because you were like, use this for protection. And so I put it in my car because I'm always driving everywhere.
Oh, some sage.
Was it sage? Okay.
Was it sage?
I don't know.
Maybe.
It didn't look like sage, so I don't know. But you're what like, will you like keep this because it's like for protection and stuff. And so I kept it in my car. It's still in my car.
Nice.
But I just kept it in my car because I was like, well, but I would also like, you know, I worked at a grocery store, so I would, you know, people would Venmo me and I would buy stuff, mm-hmm. and I would drop off food and stuff like that. And so for a second, I was always like driving around the cities, and, you know, it was a little scary, right? Knowing that ICE was around. And so I figured in my car, it'd probably be the best because I'm in my car.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, those, and then of course, dropping off those prints and, you know, other businesses so like people can go and get them and support the businesses, because I don't know, I think my mom, she's always like, you're so crazy, why do you always put yourself out there? And it's like, well, first of all, I know I'm brown, I know I'm Mexican, I know I'm Latino, Latina, like, I know, but it's like, at the end of the day, I'm an American. Mm-hmm. I have papers, I'm documented, why not?
Right.
You know, like, I would rather put myself in front of, you know, for somebody who, you know, came here for a better life, who's genuinely just working to support their kids, or themselves or whatever. And so it's like, if they, you know, like, I don't know, it's just like, I'm going to be protesting. I'm going to be, like, you know, dropping off food and supplies for people. Like, if that's all I can do in my community, if making art for free brings people out to, like, support small businesses, which also small businesses have a place in my heart because my parents have a small business, right? And their small business got me through college, got my sister and my brother through college. You know, again, everything all goes back to my parents. Like, I've seen them firsthand struggle, and I've seen my dad almost kill himself so many times with a job, not because he wanted to, but, like, he used to, like, before the small business restaurant, like, he was working at this, like, tractor tire company, and he got a nose job because he broke his nose. His shoulders are messed up. Like, I've seen, and, like, so I've seen my parents struggle, and so it's like, when I see these other, you know, immigrants, families working 2-3 jobs for their kids and all this stuff, it's like, I see my parents in them, you know. I have such a soft spot for, you know, again, moms and dads who are just here to work and have a better life for their kids, because that's all they really care about, is making sure their kids have a good life. And so, I don't know, it's just like, well, I'm an adult, and I'm technically am supposed to be safe, right? I'm a citizen here. So I will, you know, want me being, like, getting taken and probably getting, like, whatever, like, it's going to be a lot less trauma than having somebody who is undocumented get removed and placed out of here, right? Like, I still have family members who are undocumented, and I think about them all the time. And, like, I have, like, they have probably lived here a lot. They have lived here longer than they have lived in Mexico. So it's like throwing somebody to a country they haven't, like, were never grown up in. It's like, that's not really their home, you know? Like, yeah, so I don't know. I always just try to, again, like I said, I think community is really important. Community is stronger and better than authority. So I always just try to be here for my people, and I always try to be, like, I don't know, represent them, support them. And I always have, like, my parents in the back of my mind. Like, I don't know. It's the guilt. I don't know if it's the guilt. I don't know if it's the respect. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's, I don't know, the, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just see my parents and everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you caused a, you know, a shift in my consciousness. And, you know, I can't speak for everyone else, but I'm pretty sure that you made an effect on, and you will continue to make an effect on people with your art and with your beautiful presence and your expanding mind and really connecting with people. So I want to thank you for being here. You're such a beautiful, my girl. Beautiful, and you're so talented, and I can't wait to see everything that, you know, all your dreams come true.
Thank you.
and to have you back maybe, yes, after maybe a mural, or, you know.
I'm gonna work on a mural next week.
So. Really? Where?
It's in St. Paul on Vandalia Street.
Nice. Yeah. I love those. There's a few over there that I have, my faves over there, but yeah. Mm-hmm. And yes, and that's, I mean, I feel like they're gonna pop up more, and they're gonna help the consciousness of our people and just really change, you know. You never know what art will do for people, and you never know, like, how it will change people, because it changes different people different ways.
Yeah.
So you never really know, but you just gotta, when you get it out there, it's out there. So
yeah,
thank you, Dee Guzman. How can we get in a hold of you?
You can get me on social media, Instagram, Dee the Artista. You can bring me in DM, or you can email me at dtheartista@gmail.com.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you. You've been listening to Medicine Bundle. This is Deanna Stanica. We will be back next week. Giggle Wobble Man.
Inside cocaine, run track, do laps, Hussein. All these rappers around me talking big game, switch lanes. I've been getting big.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio. That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And online at kfai.org. And so are you.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are